glad your hands can stretch.
I'm doing it. You'll notice that. See, when there's only two of us and I'm not too distracted, we
That's
do
good.
All right. I'm cutting that one short a little bit.
That's all right.
52 seconds short.
This is the Noontime Public Affairs Show on KAFM Radio 88.1, Grand Junction, Colorado. I think that's all the legal stuff we have to say every half hour. And my name is Rick Castellini.
And I'm Adam Cochran.
And we are hosting the Noontime Public Affairs, and we talk about anything technology related. Today our theme is going to be back to school. Imagine that. August, people are starting to head back to school. Some places around the country are already in school. So we're going to talk a little bit about back to school and computers and technology. And we're going to, of course, take your phone calls at 241-8801 extension 1. And we'll also take your tweets. We like to get questions via Twitter. So you can tweet Adam at Talking Digital. And my Twitter is at Help Me Rick. So either one of those would work fine. And you can tweet us up that way or give us a call, 241-8801. Our website is helpmerick.com.
Yes.
And we're going to go and probably do our KFM calendar real quick, Adam.
Yeah, let's do
it. So we're going to do the calendar. We'll be right back with your phone calls and tweets right after this.
I think we're back.
We are
back. You're back. You're not back yet.
We're back.
Now you're back.
We're back in the saddle.
Yeah.
All right. So it's Rick Castellini and Adam Cochran here. They have given us control of the KAFM studio for the next hour. So
and
that
there's
means,
nobody else here, so we can do whatever we
boy,
want.
Boy, we can do. Boy, it's true.
Everybody have, is downstairs.
So we can
in
run
the KAFM
roughshod
radio room doing some sort of party.
Yeah. So we can run roughshod over the place.
That's
so
right.
Join us. Join us at this noontime party. And call us with your questions about anything technology related, 241-8801 extension 1. Or you can tweet Adam at help me at Talking Digital or me at Help Me Rick. Either way. So give us a call, give us a tweet, 241-8801 extension 1. The area code is 970 if you're listening on the web and you are out of the 970 area code. Call us at 970-241-8801 extension 1. We'd love to squeeze in 25 phone calls today if we could.
Oh yeah.
So
absolutely.
Call us up. Now the problem is if we're on the phone and you're the next caller, just let it ring because we won't be able to pick you up and put you on hold. But if you'll be the next one up,
right,
just let it ring.
If we can just beat last month's record of 20,
that'd be great.
We'll be happy. But if we can get to 25, that will be excellent.
I'd like 25 because it has a square root of 5.
Absolutely.
And today we're talking about education. So and back to school. So I thought that'd be a nice lead-in.
Yes.
5 squared is 25.
That's
25 squared.
And it's fascinating radio. That's the best part. If we can talk
math
about
on the
square,
radio.
If we could do square roots and
math on the radio,
yes,
has got to be the best.
Let's go for theorems. Theorems are next.
All right. 241-8801 extension 1. All right. Back to school. I do have to get back on my horse again today. My old worn out horse and soapbox that are both very tired, and I have to make this statement again because there's not enough people that hear my soapbox. I guess I got to get a bigger soapbox.
If you were the Old Spice guy, you would put your soapbox on your horse and walk that.
Now, there is an idea for a video.
I'm on my soapbox on my horse.
That's a great idea for a spoof video.
Go
that's
ahead.
A very good idea. But the spoof is, and I got this call just yesterday from another longtime client who says they listen to the show, who says they read the website, but yet has the same worn out, untrue, ridiculous theory about security.
Yes.
And she had received an email from a friend and didn't have a subject, didn't have anything in the body of the message, except something, it was just said something like click here or something. That's all it said. Didn't have anything else. It wasn't a forwarded message and it didn't have a signature and no subject. But because it was from her friend, what did she do?
Oh, she does it.
She clicked on the link.
Absolutely.
Clicked on the link.
Yep.
Because it was from her friend.
Right.
Now, luckily, this happens to be my client that is running an old Zonbu laptop still.
Ah.
She's had it almost 4 years, and it's running well. And for those of you who haven't heard of Zonbu is a customized version of Ubuntu Linux.
Mm-hmm.
And so thus, she did not get the garbage on her computer. But a friend of hers, because this email was sent out to a bunch of other friends that had a Windows computer, clicked over, found the Viagra and Cialis ads, and had pop-ups galore afterwards. So we had the same old talk. This is my soapbox. The worst thing you can do, the worst attitude you can have about security is that you only open up email from people that you know. And I hear that day in and day out and day in and day out. I have to come up and say that is the worst approach to security that you can possibly do, because as demonstrated by this phone call yesterday, most viruses and spyware and problems that are transmitted via email are transmitted by your friends and family.
In fact, let's go for, I'm going to take this analogy a little further.
Please do.
This is like telling your kids never to go home with a stranger unless they tell you that they know your parents. If the stranger says, oh, I know your parents.
I like
that. If the stranger says, oh, I know your parents, and your parents said you could come with me.
That is a perfect analogy.
It's the same sort of thing.
Perfect.
All that they've done is gone through your address book or gone through a list of emails that you were on the following list or on the what's the word for it? The reply list to, you know, where they reply to every single person in their address book.
Love that.
All that's happened is that the spammers or the virus writers or whoever have gotten a hold of one of those emails, and they've written those emails to and from people on your email list. So you're going to get junk from friends, and you're going to get viruses from friends, because bad guys use the alias of those friends in order to get you to trust them.
Right.
And so that's it. I think it's the same thing as telling your kids, don't ever get in a car with a stranger unless they tell you that they know your parents.
Yeah. If you do that, then we've really got to talk.
But it's the same exact, it's the same threat for the same reason.
It's a great analogy. Yeah. It's a perfect analogy. Yeah. So please, please, please be aware that opening stuff from your friends and family does not guarantee that you're going to be safe.
Right.
In fact, it's almost opposite.
Yep.
And if you want to quibble with that or get more information about that, give us a call, because I talk about it every month.
Yeah.
241-8801. I did get a tweet, though, while we were ranting there a little bit.
Yeah.
And this is from Mac Texan, Mr. Daniel. He sent it to both of us. It's an article from Fortune Magazine about Macintosh and back to school. And it said, in 5 years, Apple has replaced Dell as the student laptop of choice. This year, 70% of incoming freshman students globally are entering college with a Macintosh. 70%.
Wow.
And that is up 10 to 15% since last year alone. And it's a whole article here. Maybe I'll post that up later. But you can go to our Twitter and you'll see it on both Adam and I's Twitter. But it says 95% of college students interviewed last spring owned at least one computer, 83% laptop, of course. Among the laptop owners, 27% own Macs as of last year. Among the desktop owners, 45% own Dell. It says among those who plan to purchase a new computer, 87% wanted to buy a laptop. And of those 87%, of those people buying a laptop, 47% were going to buy a Mac. Now, we have to read this whole article, because up here at the top it says 70% of incoming students are coming with Macs, but those other statistics don't seem to hold.
Yeah.
So I'll have to read this more in close.
They need to listen to our math show.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's why they're still in college. But that's very, very interesting. But there's a little chart here, and it says in 2005, the most popular laptop among freshmen was a Dell laptop. And
I can see that.
As of 2007, Apple overtook Dell and has gone up.
Well,
ever
you know
since
what's
that.
Been a big part of that is Apple giving away the free iPod Touch when you buy a Mac.
That's
They've
a
done
good,
that for the last 4 years.
That's a good promotion.
So it's a fantastic promotion. The iPod Touch. You know, parents are saying, "I'm not going to get you an iPhone. You know, if you want to do all that stuff,
you've already got an iPod."
Exactly. So you get an iPod Touch. You know, then it's a. I don't know. I imagine that has something to do with it, because I know a lot of students every year that get the Mac
at the beginning of school. Well, that's at least a $200 value.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's $200.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that's a great deal.
Absolutely.
And the iPod Touch, you can do. I mean, students that have iPod Touches, and we're kind of segueing perfect, thanks to Daniel, into our back to school feature. The iPod Touch is basically a very miniature computer that you can add all kinds of great tools to use in school.
Yeah.
My son, I think we may have talked about it last month or a couple months ago, he downloaded, he downloaded the Wolfram Alpha app.
Yes.
After it went from $99 down to, down to $2 two, or whatever it is
four,
now.
I think, whatever, yeah.
And he can do his algebra in Wolfram Alpha.
Isn't that crazy?
It is amazing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he knows how to ask the right questions, and that's what Wolfram Alpha is all about, sure. is knowing how to ask the question.
Yeah.
Because it is a very funky search engine.
Yeah, Wolfram Alpha, is a, for those who don't know, is a search engine to help you find questions to...
Answers to.
Answers to... I don't know. I don't know what analytical things.
Well, that's the thing, and that's what I'm statistics.
Yeah, statistics.
History.
You can ask common questions, but it is a question based thing or a problem based thing. Mm-hmm. You're not going to put in. Well,
it's not Google.
It's not Google.
It's not going to search the web.
It doesn't give you search results. It gives you answers.
Right.
So and you have to be able to formulate your question in the right way.
So if you watch a lot of Jeopardy, you might be able to.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, absolutely. For our, theorem show,
yeah, please answer.
You'll need to have Wolfram Alpha.
Please give us the answer in the form of a question.
That's it.
All right. 241-8801 extension 1 is the phone number. Speaking of education applications for any kind of a mobile phone, and again, a lot of kids these days are getting either iPhones, iPod Touches. Mm-hmm. How many different Android phones are out in the market now?
I forgot. 32 like, or something like that.
I mean, there's
like
a
that.
Bunch out yeah. there. Yeah. And kids are starting to gravitate to those. They're becoming less and more a global device than just a business device.
Sure.
Smartphones used to be primarily business-oriented phones for business-type folks and your high-tech folks. But now students are recognizing the advantage of them. Parents are recognizing mm-hmm. the advantage of them. And so the application world is coming out with tons of great applications for those little devices, including lots of good English to other language
right.
dictionaries, English, Spanish, English, Russian, whatever you want, whatever you're studying, you can find a dictionary for it. The dictionary itself having the entire unabridged Merriam-Webster dictionary and thesaurus on a little
right.
handheld device, very powerful. So if you're sitting in English class or something like that. The other thing I'm enjoying, Adam, I don't know if you would, does the Pre have the Amazon Kindle
Yeah, I was
going to
bring that
app?
Up. I don't know if it does or not. I don't
okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
But it is for Android. They do have it for
right.
for almost everything else, so
and it's
iPhone.
And they just added for the Android and for the iPhone, the Kindle application, the Amazon Kindle.
Right.
Where you can touch a word and it brings up a definition.
Right.
I love that.
It's very, very cool.
So I read a lot of financial stuff, political things,
yeah.
and biography, you know, like mm-hmm. recent biography type
yeah.
stuff. And I've been reading that on the phone and on my iPhone, and it's wonderful. I get
yeah.
to a word, I'm not sure what it is, I can just touch on it, and it gives me the instant definition.
One of the...
Wonderful.
Yeah, I was going to actually bring up the Kindle today, or ebook readers in general, but especially
sure.
the Kindle. You know, I like the form factor and the design of the Barnes & Noble Nook a lot, and the Sonys are pretty nice. But the one thing that the Kindle has going for it is the huge base of books that are available for it. Publishers
right.
are working more with the Kindle than with anybody else.
Including non-book publishers,
right.
magazines, newspapers.
Exactly, yeah. And so what's happened is Barnes & Noble says, well, we have 1 million books available, but what they don't tell you is 1 million of those, you know, a big chunk of those books are the out-of-print Google reader books that you can download and install on almost anything anyway. But the Kindle has, as I was going through, as I'm going into college, I'm always looking for textbooks
mm-hmm.
and one thing I always check, I don't have a Kindle yet, but I plan on getting one here as soon as the next one becomes available. But I always check to see which textbooks are available on Kindle.
How many are right
and
now?
And at first, it was like probably one or two out of every five textbooks.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's getting to be three and four out of every text, out of a few.
And are they quite a bit cheaper than their...
No, well, I would say they're about, it just depends. Between 20 and 70 bucks, usually.
Okay.
For books that typically sell for between 50 and
so there is a discount.
Yeah, there's
for getting electronic.
There is a pretty significant discount
okay.
for most of them. A lot of them you can buy older editions too, and things like that, just like
okay.
you could for the print version. But the nice part is I figure if it takes the load off of two or three books that I would normally have to be carrying with me or keeping track of.
Right.
It's worth it to have that little Kindle. That's $189, I think, is what they're charging for it.
Well, now they dropped the price to $149.
For the Wi-Fi version, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
you're looking for the...
I'm going to get the 3G one.
The 3G.
Yeah, it's $189, okay. And that way... with the advantage to 3G is it means that you're...
Anywhere
you are, you can download books. It also accesses Twitter
with
and
no
Facebook
extra cost.
And things like that with no extra cost. There's no subscription fee. So, but there is a Wi-Fi version that makes it so that anytime you're on a Wi-Fi network, you can access those things as well.
And I know that the full Kindle has the dictionary built in.
Right.
And the other thing I really like about, again, because I read more fact, nonfiction type stuff, is you can highlight.
Right.
And then you can review those highlights very quickly.
You can highlight.
You can go on the web and
search.
See those things. You can share those.
Well, one thing I've found, the reason I've decided to go with the Kindle is because I do write a lot of papers. And a lot of the papers I'm writing for my master's courses are things where you have to read, you know, a 300 or 400 page book and then either write a review on it or cite that book in your stuff. And I'll remember reading it.
Right.
But I have to go back and try to figure out where I made that, or I have to make very good notes.
Or if you forgot to highlight it.
With a Kindle, I can just say, okay, I remember that there was a place in there that said something about, you know, I can remember partial sentences, so you can search.
That's right. Even if you didn't highlight it.
Even if I didn't highlight it,
exactly.
I can search for the terms.
So very good point.
It is, I think it's the next generation of textbooks. And as soon as Kindle catches on, or Amazon or whoever, textbook companies catch on to the usefulness of their textbooks in that e-format, then I think we're going to see, you know, a revolution in the way students are carrying around their textbooks and utilizing their textbooks.
And I think because people are so much more mobile, as you just mentioned, instead of carrying around two or three textbooks, if you have to take the kids to the doctor's office, or if you're a student and you're just hanging out at the pizza parlor and you have your iBook, your Kindle with you, you can get a little study in depth.
Yeah, you can even do RSS applications, things like that, that help make it so you can read the news. So it kind of, there's the iPad out there, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in a second. But the cool part about the Kindle is that it also has that Kindle app that's available for all the smartphones and laptops and everything. So if you buy a book, it doesn't mean that you have to always keep your Kindle with you. You're able to access any of those books that you've purchased or downloaded from any device that runs that Kindle app.
That's right.
So it
including
also makes,
there's some desktop readers, right? If you're on your computer, there's a reader for the Kindle.
Yeah, you can download for Windows and Mac. There's a Kindle reader. So you have no excuse for not having your book with you and for not being able to find the material that you want. And that, you know, it just makes it that much easier to be a student and to be able to be efficient at being a student. So I think the Kindle or some sort of e-reader is a major bonus. I think that'll take us into the iPad.
Well, and before we get off textbooks too, my daughter's starting college in a couple weeks. And one of the biggest expenses from college, even when I went to school and when you went to school, was textbooks, as you just mentioned.
Right.
But with the web, there's a whole genre, there's a whole microeconomic thing going online of used textbooks.
Yes.
Or rental textbooks. So if you have a college student and those books are kind of scaring you, I don't think it's even worth looking on campus anymore for textbooks.
No, not at all.
The best place, one of the places I first started using was Chegg. Chegg.com. I don't know what Chegg means.
I don't either.
But it's a great little search tool.
It's a domain that wasn't taken by the IPv4 domain naming system yet.
And I guess.
They claimed it.
But you can search for the author of the textbook or the ISBN number. My daughter's school gave her the ISBN numbers, which are the Library of Congress kind of numbers, that you can search for a textbook. And then they have used books available, new and or rental for many of them. And we saved over the cost that her school told us were the costs at her school, almost 50% over what she would have had to pay. And I look at some of the boxes in my garage that I have textbooks that I've never taken out again.
And I'm
almost thinking, gosh, maybe I should go back and see if any of these I can sell on eBay.
Sure.
Maybe I could.
One thing I do is I scribble in my books. I write notes in my books. I've tried to take notes separately and keep my books nice. To resell, it just doesn't work for me. My best way to do it is to go out there and actually scribble on them, dog ear the pages and all of that. So when I get a book, I usually won't need to buy it. Chegg is great for rental and all of that. But one place I've found for buying my textbooks. It's been fantastic. And it even has a social cause behind it too, is Better World Books. Have you used them at all?
I haven't seen that.
Better World Books scours things like the Goodwill and used bookstores. And there's a huge community of them. And I was able to get about $400 worth of books for $75.
Nice.
This last semester.
Better World Books.
Trashed books.
Yeah. .com.
.com. Yeah. Betterworldbooks.com. And a lot of these books, I mean, it tells you right in them, dog-eared pages, some marking, you know, and some of them are brand new. I mean, three of the books I got were brand new. If they'd ever been used, it wasn't obvious at all.
They were the students that didn't, like my dad would say, they ate the cover off the books.
Yeah, but I mean, this book that's normally $17, I got for $2.50. And that's how they got it. But really, some of these books were pretty hammered. But really, considering that I read through them one time and
you're
going to
use them for 4 months.
Exactly. I just mark them with a different color pen than the last guy.
Well, and sometimes I think it's kind of, that's one thing I like about the Kindle too, is if you're reading a fairly popular book, well, any book, but if it's a fairly popular book, you'll come to a passage and it'll say 15 people have highlighted this particular passage. So then it makes you kind of read that passage again and say, wow, why are 15 people doing this? Yeah. And makes you kind of aware of what other people are looking at. Because we all look at different mediums very differently. Now, the other thing in regards to the Kindle and used textbooks is I found, Adam, that Amazon is a huge textbook distributor.
Yeah.
So if you search for those same ISBN numbers on Amazon, because of Amazon Marketplace anymore, a lot of these used bookstores and used textbooks have their stores available at Amazon, and you can find great prices and places right there.
I'm pretty sure that's how I found Better World Books, was because they were an Amazon distributor also.
Right.
But, anyway, there's what the page looks like. But
looks right. Now, you said it has...
See, they have the social... What they do is they take money and donations and all of that for literacy, raising money around the world, and then also they take books that would have been landfill books, or like I said, books that are more trashed than what the typical used bookstore would take, and they sell those as well. And sometimes they're, you know,
and free shipping in the USA.
Yeah, things as low as like $1.50 or something like that for some of these books, just because they want to get rid of them.
Very cool.
Shipping, they even have a free shipping option, although I don't recommend the free shipping because they don't track free shipping orders, so they'll tell you it's been shipped. But they don't track it.
What's the book rate?
Yeah, it's
where it's very cheap. Yeah. And
but even there, I think it was $3 per book or $3 something. I forget what it was. If you wanted to pay for the shipping and have it trackable and have it there in 4 days or whatever.
Very cool.
But it was
excellent. Yeah, so those are saving some money there with that's not necessarily technology related, but you're using technology to save money for your kids' schooling or if
you
you're
couldn't
in school.
Do it without technology.
That's correct. Well, it'd be very difficult.
Yeah.
To call them up and say, "Can you look this up?" All right, 241.
Let's call Google.
241-8801 extension 1. Boy, we have 25 calls to get in a half an hour now.
Wow.
People must be very interested in what we're talking about here. But if you're going to school now and you have some secret technology or ways that you're using technology that you'd like to share with others, give us a call. Or maybe you went to school 30 years ago and you're wondering how do kids get by with the technology today that you didn't have and those kinds of anything you want to talk about, give us a call. 241-8801 extension 1. Or if you have a question about anything other than school, doesn't have to be school related, give us a call, 241-8801, extension 1. Or you can Twitter us. Adam is at Talking Digital, and I am at Help Me Rick, and the website is helpmerick.com. Did you check your Twitter?
I have been checking it, but nothing has come through.
Nothing's come through for you.
Not for me, so
very
we're doing good.
There was an article in the paper this past weekend. Did you get one? Or was that from Mac Texan?
Oh, it is. It's the link that he sent. So, yeah. Okay.
The other interesting thing I thought, this is not necessarily in technology related, but this the change in economics of school and things like that. There was an article this weekend in the paper about how a lot of school districts are now putting out larger and larger school supply lists.
Yeah.
And school supplies, when again, way back, used to be your crayons and your scissors.
Right.
And nowadays, it's crayons, scissors, toilet paper, paper towels, disinfectant, you know, all these other Kleenex boxes, mm-hmm. you know, all these things that were not even anywhere thought of as being something supplied by the kids. And now that's becoming more and more a standard. In fact, the article was talking about how Office Depot and Office Max and some of the big, and even like Walmart and some of the big stores like that, in their back to school shopping aisles, they're now including all these janitorial and you know, again, those Kleenexes and all that kind of stuff in those aisles. It's not just paper and pencils and crayons. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. But you know what? The other thing too is school supplies this year, more than I've ever seen before, have become crazy loss leaders at this. I mean, really, really cheap 5 and 10 cent things that are normally $1.50 or $4.
Right.
It's really, really been amazing this year to see that, you know, I know we went in and bought a bunch of stuff and we didn't necessarily need,
right?
Because it was, I mean, one of the things was a composition notebooks that, you know, the ones that are normally,
right,
you know, $4 or $5 were 50 cents each.
Really? Like, so they had a big sale on them?
It was just, during the back to school sales. It's interesting to see whatever's going on with the economy right now. That's a big part of it.
That's very interesting. All right, 241-8801 extension 1, 241-8801 extension 1. Speaking of Android phones, we talked about that mm-hmm. earlier in the hour. I heard through the grapevine that there's someone in town that reserved one of the new Epics. Is that what it's called, the Epic?
Yeah, the Samsung Epic is what it's called.
I think he needs to stay anonymous, but do we know any more about the Epic? Tell us about the Epic?
No, it's just the latest phone. There's always going to be something later and greater, so I know that in 3 weeks we'll be talking about something else. But it has all the features that I've been waiting for. But I'll admit I'm the person we're talking about. But it has all the features I've been waiting for. I really like it because it's essentially a small laptop in the form of a phone or a mm-hmm. small netbook. It has a gig of RAM in it and all that stuff. But it's got a little slide-out keyboard. It has an HD screen on it, 5-megapixel camera.
Dual cameras, which most of the new Androids have now.
The newer ones that are starting to roll out,
right?
Yeah, but it's just an Android. It's an iPhone replacement or an iPhone.
And that's what I was just going to say. Just for those who have not heard us talk about the Android before, Android is the Google operating system for cell phones,
right?
So, and the easiest way to talk about it is it's a direct competitor to the iPhone.
Yeah.
So if you like the iPhone or you've seen the iPhone, you kind of like what it does, you can get the same kind of functionality and in a lot of cases more functionality mm-hmm. with the Google Android phones. And there's a whole bevy of them out there available with any of the providers.
Yeah.
Now, it seems to be that each provider, though, has their own phone. They're not having one. Is there any phones that cross platform?
There's not very many that cross over,
right.
But
they all have their own little shtick.
Yeah, they're little things, but some of them are very, very minimal things. But they don't release the same phone to every carrier or to crossover between carriers much. I'm not sure. I'm sure there's a reason for that. It's a little bit of exclusivity between carriers, but really, there's no reason. If you like the Evo on the Sprint, you should be able to turn right over and find something very similar. You know, by HTC on Verizon too. So
the other nice thing is because there's so many of these phones being released, you can buy last month's generation at an extremely reduced price. I think I saw one this weekend advertised for $49.
Oh yeah.
Yep. A very powerful little mm-hmm. Android phone.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to get into the smartphones without spending a ton of money.
Yeah. In fact, brand new, there's a few, Androids out there now that are $49.
Really?
Yeah, it's nice. A few of the, you know, they have the smaller LCD screen on them and all mm-hmm. that, but they still will do everything that you need them to do. But it's certainly an advantage. I think there's a lot of advantages to Android over the iPhone, but the iPhone still has the advantage of having the most applications and being a little bit simpler to use. But Android is certainly worth looking into, and I think if you're willing to stick with it and learn the system, I think that you'll be very happy with it because it is so open. It lets you modify so many things and, you know, there's no real exclusivity as far as...
If you're a tinkerer, you'll love it.
Yeah.
You'll
that's
actually
really what
love
it's made
it.
For.
But I think one of the, again, going back to school, my daughter is taking an astronomy class this year for her science. And on the Android, Google has a free application available for the Android called Google Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen this in operation?
My daughter uses it.
Have you seen her use it? It's very cool because all mobile phones these days have a gyroscope in them and a GPS.
Right.
Google has created this very cool tool where if you're a stargazer, you can go out at night, and because it knows the angle that you're looking at the sky, and because it knows your GPS location and, of course, time of day, mm-hmm. you can point the phone at the sky, and as you're looking at the screen, it knows where you're pointing,
yep.
and then it'll show you what stars and constellations you're looking at.
Yeah.
Extremely cool.
You know what's
cool.
even cooler? Now, this my brother has the Hero, which is one of the first Android mm-hmm. phones, mm-hmm. and we were out in a place where there wasn't any internet access or cell coverage, okay. either one, and mm-hmm. he was able to use that.
Right.
So I figured it was able to pull the information live through the internet, but no. it's actually something built into the programs.
Yeah, the GPS and the gyrometers, the gyroscope is all it needs.
Another thing, too, there's a free application for Android mm-hmm. that downloads all the maps of any area that you want to go so that you don't have to have internet access in order for your
maps
your
to
nav
work.
System to work. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so... there's a lot of little advantages because basically with Android, people can say, oh, there's a need for this, and they can create it without having to get the approval from
Apple Store,
the iStore. But.
Right. Or have to jailbreak your iPhone yep. in order to get some of those functionalities.
Exactly.
So very cool. Anyway. 241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number, 241-8801, extension 1. Or you can tweet Adam at Talking Digital or me at Help Me Rick. We'd love to get you in the conversation and talk about it. Maybe all the KFM listeners are downstairs.
Partying.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people downstairs, and maybe yeah. that's why the phone calls are very light today, which gives you the opportunity to get in and not have to wait in line if you want to give us a call about your computer. And to me, I think if there was a, I wonder if the lawyers get this once a month when they have their lawyer night.
Yeah.
You know, they have the free call
yeah,
in.
Sure.
I wonder how often, you know, people get, I wonder how long their calls are silent.
I don't know.
Because,
not used to it. We usually have so many calls. Let's just enjoy the break. And if anybody wants to call, we'll be more than happy to answer your tech question.
I think it's funny, though, because people always have tech questions.
Oh, I know.
You know, they yeah. stop you at the store.
Mm-hmm.
They stop me in the street.
Yep.
And, in fact, today it was kind of funny. I was pulling into a neighborhood to see a client, and this car backed up behind me when I was behind the driveway. And so I got out, and I recognized who it was. And it was two other clients that were together driving out of this neighborhood. They said, hey, what are you doing here? That's how I'm working. And so, and they both had a quick question they wanted to ask me out in the driveway.
Yep. Yep.
But it was kind of funny. So it's your opportunity, 241-8801, extension 1. Or you can just listen, sit back and relax, drink your iced tea, and listen to Adam and I shoot the BS about smartphones, the internet, saving you money. If you're out there listening, you're a grandparent or a parent, take advantage of these tips we've given you on saving money in college.
There's not a better time to buy a computer, I think, than back to school season. Not even Christmas season.
I agree.
Holiday season. Back to school season is really the best season because computer companies use back to school season to get rid of their stock before the Christmas season comes out.
It's not that it's bad stock.
No.
It's very good stuff.
And they also release lower end stuff, so mm-hmm. it's affordable to students. And when I say lower end, I don't mean... you know, they use a cheaper plastic or they, mm-hmm. you know, it's good stuff. They just release it so that it'll be affordable to students. So right. you're getting the old stock, the student stuff, everything coming in all at once, and a lot of competition between the stores.
Now, you mentioned about netbooks earlier,
yes.
and I'm gonna make a little editorial comment
sure.
about netbooks and Microsoft, how Microsoft killed the netbook industry.
Yes.
Because netbooks, when they first came out about 2.5 years ago, almost 3 years ago now,
mm-hmm.
every single one of them were Linux-based computers. They were small, they were fast, and they didn't have viruses. They weren't slow.
Right.
And they were very durable because they didn't need a lot of room. They were specifically built to just browse the web and do very, very light computing tasks.
Right.
Including Skype. You could even do Skype and
sure.
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But Microsoft saw that market was eating into folks buying traditional laptops, so they inserted their big noses into the netbook market, and the netbook continued to climb a little bit because it was still a new enough technology.
Right.
But it's tanking now because people are finding, I have so many clients who buy a netbook, and they just don't use it because, A, they don't want to have to keep up with the viruses, or they mm-hmm. got a virus and they figure it was too cheap to even put money into fixing.
Right.
Or they didn't realize it would be slow when they started working with it because a netbook running Windows 7 Basic is as slow as you're going to get.
Right.
It is an extremely pathetic experience for a computer. And so it's killed the whole netbook experience for a lot of people. And now with iPads and now more tablets coming out, it's going to continue to die out, and with more powerful phones.
Yeah.
So why carry this? And the other thing is, you just mentioned about being a good time to buy computers. Right now, you can get laptops, full-blown laptops, cheaper than netbooks.
Yeah.
So it's ridiculous what has happened to the netbook, which I think was a great little niche computer for the right thing.
The netbook should be a device.
But Microsoft killed it.
Yeah. The netbook should be a device that you turn on and browse the web and do anything that you would do on the web. That means you could use Google Docs or you could do whatever, but that's what it should be.
And not have to maintain.
Yeah,
that's the thing. You want it to, like the iPad and like tablets, you turn them on, almost instant on, almost instant off, long battery life.
Yep.
And you can just throw it in your car and take it on a trip or something. But
sure.
It's not that anymore. It's crazy. Crazy, crazy. And when I saw this weekend, when you were talking about the deals on computers, that you could get a full-blown laptop for between $50 and $100 cheaper than almost any netbook on the market right now.
Right.
And that's nuts.
Yeah.
In my mind.
I agree.
You agree?
I agree.
Okay.
Totally.
Good.
I
got that off my chest for today.
I would be okay with a netbook that had, you know, 9-10-inch screen, a keyboard, Wi-Fi, and a place for me to connect the internet just in case I have an
SD slot.
And an SD slot. Well, I don't know.
Just to look at your photos? Look at your photos?
Maybe.
Don't have to?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think I'd pull out my laptop if I was going to do that.
All right.
I want something that's just bare minimum, $149.
That's the
price. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's the price point.
Go in, turn it on, and listen to Pandora. You know, do the things.
Check your email.
Anything that's web-based.
Right.
I just want it to do the web. Nothing else. I don't want it to run apps. I don't want it to run Microsoft Office. I want to turn it on.
Now, the thing that could resurrect it is the Google Chrome. Because basically you're talking about Google Chrome operating system.
Google Chrome or Android-driven tablets, either one of those, could certainly be the
resurrect that.
The answer to that. But people started paying attention to it, not because of the netbook, but because of the iPad.
Right.
And now that the iPad comes out and everybody says, wow, what an innovative idea.
Right.
You know, Asus had it nailed a few years back when they did it with Linux and a little netbook. And instant on and all of that, but you know, that's how it works with Apple.
They're
very good at mastering someone else's idea and
putting it in a nice package.
Yeah, absolutely, that's fine. That's certainly not a criticism of them at all. But I just think if I was somebody like Palm looking at the iPhone, I would just be tearing my hair out, saying, you know, we did that.
Well, 10
I know years ago,
and it still breaks my heart what happened to Palm.
Yeah.
Maybe once HP gets their upper echelon kind of smoothed out, maybe they'll come out with a good Palm OS based.
I think it's too late. I think it's too late for Palm. Palm's gone, and HP buying them didn't help.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so.
You think
so.
Palm's just going to be slowly
gone.
Die?
I think Palm would have to adopt Android, or RIM would have to buy Palm. Something would have to happen there in order for it to
be good. Now that's an interesting topic. BlackBerry.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk that BlackBerry sales are continuing to plummet.
Yeah, they are.
Because of the cheaper iPhones and the plethora of Google Android.
Well, the advantage to BlackBerry used to be push email or business email.
Right.
That when somebody emails you, you'll get it instantly on your device.
Right.
And now iPhone pretty much supports that. Palm even supports that. And
Android
supports it. So now with all of that going on, people are actually replacing their business email systems with versions, you know, industry or corporate versions of Gmail.
Right.
And and that's starting to
the Gmail apps is what they call it. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So I think that BlackBerry's niche is really dying.
Right. And it's and their devices have not been very exciting.
Well, they just came out with a new torch, their new slider BlackBerry. It runs the new operating system.
Reminds me of a Trio.
It's very similar, very similar to a Trio with a little slider, or similar to the Palm 3.
Still not a touchscreen, or is it a touchscreen?
It is a touchscreen. It does have a multi-touch where you can pinch and turn your pictures and stuff. But it's too little too late. I mean, it looks old because it's not doing anything newer or more innovative than what anybody else has done.
And
in
their
the last
new
three,
operating
years.
System hasn't been released, has it?
Yeah, it has. It's on the new device.
So that's on the new device.
Yeah, it's on the
new
torch.
Is that the first one with the new operating system?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it yet.
Only, I think.
I know that their other touchscreen last year, not the Bold, what was their touchscreen? The bigger touchscreen.
Yeah, there was
Was it called the Bold?
I don't remember.
I don't remember all the Blackberries.
I forget. Blackberry Touch, maybe. Who knows?
But it's the one you had to punch the screen.
Yeah,
and that was a horrible implementation. It was, and I haven't talked to anyone who owns that phone who likes it.
Yeah.
I literally have not.
Yeah.
And I've only met maybe a dozen of them, but every one of those folks said, I hate my phone.
Yeah.
And that they, once that their contract ran out, they were going to get a new phone.
What's funny is 2 years ago when that phone came out, there was another little phone that maybe is a little bit more than that. Another little phone called the HTC had something to do with, Tilt. That's what it was.
Okay.
The HTC Tilt.
Oh, I remember that. It kind of.
And HTC came out with this phone and, you know, had the HTC branding on. Everybody said, well, who's that? Nobody want, you know, and they bought it. They said, oh, this is actually kind of a cool phone. It's built well and all of that. And that was the beginning of HTC's.
Was that an Android phone?
No, it was, I think it was a Windows phone.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was, but it still was the first phone to really get people's attention into looking at the HTC name.
Right.
And then on with the Hero and the MyTouch and all of those things. Just, it's been pretty impressive to see. HTC now, I think, is the third most recognized name after iPhone, Motorola, and I think...
Is Motorola still making phones that people recognize?
Well, only because of old phones.
Okay.
So in other words, when people say name a phone in the United States,
that's
go
true.
Worldwide, and
right.
it's Nokia. Nokia blows everybody out of the water.
And they used to be huge in the United States, and now you don't see very many of their phones here.
Nope, they just don't sell in the United States. In fact, I read a book recently called Biology, and it's B-U-Y, Biology. And in that, it's all about how our brain works as consumers. And one of the things that it had in there was that the Nokia cell phone ring, which everybody knows as the traditional cell phone ring, actually hurts their brand because when people hear it, they think of interrupted meetings. They think of, you know, the phone going off in church. They think of, so it actually decreases the value of their brand because of that
association
with that particular ring. So it was kind of interesting. Anyway, but yeah.
Well, 241-8801 extension 1 is our phone number here at KFM Radio. And we are here every month on the third Wednesday of the month during their noontime public affairs meeting. And Adam and I sit here and shoot the bull about technology. And we'll answer your questions about anything technology related. And you can contact us during this hour by calling 241-8801 extension 1. Or you can tweet Adam at Talking Digital or me at Help Me Rick.
There's a cool list I ran into today. I actually saw it on the blogs across or on Twitter. A college list called, I don't know how to pronounce that. It's French, I imagine. Belois or Beloit College.
I call it the Beloit.
Beloit College list. And each year they come out and say, these are the things you know and you need to know about the incoming freshmen.
Okay.
And it's for teachers so they can keep up culturally with their students so that they don't refer to things in their class or ask them to do assignments that have nothing to do with what these kids frame them.
So they're not lame teachers.
So they're not lame teachers, right? And a few things on this list, and this is for the class of 2014, so whether you're high school or college, this is the incoming freshman. And few know how to write in cursive. Cursive isn't taught in schools anymore.
I believe that.
Nor should it be, in my opinion.
How are you going to sign checks if you don't know how to do cursive?
Exactly. Exactly. Good point. Let's see. There's a few others on here that I thought were funny. Go West, young college grad has always implied, and don't stop until you get to Asia.
That's
learn
true
Chinese today. Along the way.
That's right.
Let's see. Buffy has always been meeting her obligations to hunt down Loth. Oh, never mind. I'm going to skip that one. There was another one there. That I thought it was going to refer to something else. Caramel macchiato. Is it?
Yeah, macchiato. That's
macchiato. Okay. And venti half calf vanilla latte have always been street corner lingo.
Oh, interesting.
There you go. John McCain has never played. John McEnroe has never played professional tennis. Clint Eastwood is better known as a sensitive director.
Oh.
There you go.
That's a bad one. We got to teach those kids who Clint Eastwood really is.
Parents and teachers feared that Beavis and Butthead might be the voice of a lost generation.
Speaking of Clint Eastwood
yes.
and being a sensitive director,
yes.
Have you gone to see The Expendables yet?
Not yet.
The Expendables is pretty good.
Is it?
It's not bad. I mean, you got to go in.
I'm really mad that it's not PG-13.
Well, they could have.
One of the reasons I'm mad. Well, that's it. That's my point.
They could have.
There's no movie that's targeted more at 14-year-old boys than that particular movie. I really think they.
And there's in thinking about it, there's very little language.
Oh, I know. I know. They probably pushed it with violence or something. Or maybe there's so much gun shooting that they thought, you know, we better not let kids see this or they might shoot.
Yeah, speaking of documentaries, have you seen the documentary about the MPAA, how they do the ratings?
No, I need to see that one.
It is extremely, extremely good.
I got to watch it. Is it on Netflix?
I'm sure it is. I bet it's even it. Watch it now.
I'll look for
but
it.
But it's a very good one. I forget. It's called, I think it has something to do with, I think it says Rate This.
Yeah. I know. I don't
you've
know
seen
that's
it,
the
though.
Name, but I do know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot the name of it.
Netflix is worth getting just for the documentaries. When you get to Food Inc. and Paper Clips.
Did you see Food Inc.?
I haven't watched it yet. I need to sit down and finish
watching
it.
I'm interested for you to watch Food Inc.
Yeah.
Because you're a huge meat eater.
I am.
And I'm just curious for you to see
that. I'm sure. You know, I've read Fast Food Nation and the other ones too. So I understand.
You did see Paper Clips?
I haven't watched it yet. That's a good one. Same thing as in my queue. We did watch the paper, the folding paper one the other day.
I haven't seen that one. That one's
really
good.
It's one to do, one to watch while you're doing something else.
Oh, okay.
But it is good.
Okay.
But you could almost watch it with the sound down and be just as impressed because it does show a lot of this origami that these guys do. But it does talk about the physics and the different principles of origami that are really interesting too. But
now that's a watch it now on Netflix.
Yeah, it is watch it now. So there's a lot of good documentaries out there.
There's some technology there. If you're not familiar with Netflix, and I think there's very few people these days that aren't.
Yeah.
You see these red envelopes are ubiquitous mm-hmm. everywhere where you can order DVDs. They're delivered to your door usually within a day or two.
Yeah.
You can keep them as long as you want. You can rent as many as you want as long as you kick them back. But in the last 2 years, 3 years,
yeah,
they have a large portion of their library and many of their documentaries,
sure,
which are watch it now.
Well, yeah.
Meaning you can watch it on your computer and starting this past few months, you can start watching them on your iPad.
Yeah.
And
Android's coming soon.
That's what I thought.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know if I'd want to watch a full movie on my phone.
No, but it is interesting when you're sitting there and have to do something and
maybe good for like doing some of the, if you wanted to watch like Lost, mm-hmm, an episode or two of,
sure,
Lost or something,
yeah,
like that.
You know, one thing that kind of brings me to something, things you don't need to buy your college students. You don't need to buy them a TV. It used to be something, and even then.
My daughter said she doesn't want one, yeah.
Yeah, even, you know, it always has been kind of a dumb thing to get because it implies that they're not working or whatever, but you don't need to get a TV at all anymore because of Netflix and Hulu and you want to see any TV show that's on any network, you go to abc.com or nbc.com or whatever, and you can watch the episodes of the show. YouTube, there's just no reason to have a TV. Even live streaming stuff, if something newsworthy is going on, go to Fox News or CNN and you can watch their live TV show
feed
and you can,
sure,
see it. So there's no need at all, I would say, for a
TV.
That
saves a lot of space.
Yeah.
Even with new flat screen TVs, it still saves space and saves,
yeah,
some money by
and
not having to have that.
And all of that, yeah. So that's one thing. You don't need to get them a Palm Pilot, which may be obvious, but I know that there's still a lot
what
of...
What is a Palm Pilot?
People still ask.
What is a Palm Pilot?
Should I get my... Oh, it's a PDA. Or, you know, should I get the kid a PDA?
You can't buy them anymore, can you?
You can. You can find them out there.
Used?
Yeah. Well, no, you can still find... I know they don't make them anymore, but I'm pretty sure that if you went out there and looked, you could find a planner,
an
electronic
Franklin
planner of some sort. Yeah. You don't need to get a Franklin planner. Get them a smartphone, and you won't believe how...
productive
easy it
can
is to be productive and keep their schedule and their homework and everything.
I would also say, I would highly suggest giving your student the opportunity of not using Microsoft Office.
Yes.
Because even the student edition of Microsoft Office is going to run you $100.
Right.
At the bare minimum,
you know,
usually 150.
I'll argue with you a little bit on this one.
Okay.
Only because now I'm a student and I've realized that Google Docs and Open Office don't cut it for...
But what kinds of things?
And formatting and things like that.
Okay.
Because when you get into formatting, a lot of times it'll say that this particular portion of the paper needs to be hanging indent. This particular portion of the paper needs to be...
So if they're highly stylized.
Very, very stylized. And but I still don't use Microsoft Office. Since I have a Mac, I did get the iWork.
Mm-hmm.
And that has worked fine. That's $79 or $99 for
and
five licenses.
And is its word processor okay?
It's great. It's completely compatible. I like it a whole lot better than Microsoft Word. It is so, so nice. It works with styles a lot more. Very intuitive styles.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in a bibliography where they have to do a hanging indent in their citations and all that, You can simply highlight it and say apply bibliography.
Doesn't your bibliography just say Wikipedia?
Yeah. No, you know what I do for Wikipedia? I don't cite Wikipedia.
I cite their citations.
I go find the little citations of Wikipedia. That's what you got to do.
My daughter does that. She's done that for years.
That's the way to do it. Yeah.
Because their teachers always say, don't use Wikipedia. Your Wikipedia is bad.
Yeah.
But the kids do that. They'll read the article, and then they'll just cite one of the citations.
I think the don't cite Wikipedia rule is going to show who the outdated teachers are in the next 3 or 4 years. Because already I'm starting to notice that teachers are starting to get away from that and just say, make sure that you cite sources along with the Wikipedia to verify your information.
So, right.
And that's a good way to do it, I think. Anyway.
All right. Well, I think we probably should get ready to wrap it up unless you have any. Do you have any last words of wisdom for students? And because you're a student currently, is there anything else that
Here's what I would say. I would say sign up for a Google account if you don't have one. Set up a Gmail account. Go to google.com or gmail.com and set that up and get that Google account going. Mm-hmm. Go into Google, and up at the very top of Google, google.com, there's a thing that says other, I think is what it says. Is that right? More.
Uh-huh.
Go to google.com and look where it says more. Once you've found that more, click on that. And down at the very bottom, there's another link that says even more.
Mm-hmm.
Click on that link. So we're going to Google, click on more, and then even more. And you will find a list of every service that Google offers. These are key to helping your student, especially if your student is leaving for college and going to be in a strange place. Things like Google 411 will help them find businesses in their new location. Google Maps will help them find, their
anything.
Way around. The Google e-reader, everything. There's all these features.
They have Google Scholar, right?
Yeah, Google Scholar helps them find information on papers and scholarly works. And the biggest one that I think comes in most handy for a student, I would say, is the Google Calendar.
Mm-hmm.
The Google Calendar is a way that they can schedule their homework, their classes, and even set up reminders for when papers are due and tests are due and all of that, and they'll come straight to their cell phone. When to call your parents, all of that, which also gives
They usually
Google
know that
Talk.
when the checkbook starts getting low.
If you download Google Talk, then you'll be able to instant message your kids from the computer to their cell phone at any time. You can keep up with them. There's just a lot of advantages there. So I would say, head on down to google.com, sign up for a Google account, and then just have fun. Picasa will help them upload their pictures and share their pictures with you.
Create collages.
Yep. I think a student who knows how to use all the Google services is way
ahead. Very advanced student.
Yep. Yep. So that's it.
All right. So that's it for this month's Rick and Adam Talk Technology at KFM Radio's Noontime Public Affairs. We'll be back again next month on the third Wednesday of the month between noon and 1 p.m. In the meantime, have a great month, and you can visit our website at helpmerick.com. You can follow Adam at Talking Digital on Twitter or me at helpmerick. Have a great month. Thanks for listening.